Thank you once again for allowing me to be here this morning, be up front to deliver words that I hope that everybody will take home with them and kind of think about, ponder, and things. I have a question for everyone in the audience, and it applies to me just as well as anybody else, but the question is, what do you do when no one pats you on the back? You know, you work hard, and no one ever seems to notice. For example, I can remember, you know what, my working days, that we had deadlines, we had quotas, and sometimes the superiors would just say to us, I don't care how you do it, just get it done, with regards to sales goals. Or we need this project completed by this certain date. And you put in the overtime, you work diligently, and I'm not just saying this applies to the people in the workforce, because the homemaker, for example, you know, you clean the house, you do the laundry, you do the dishes, you prepare the meals, but yet, you know, 2 or 3 hours from now, no one is, it's not going to be able to tell in some cases. You know, no one seems to notice your efforts. And why give that extra effort when the boss doesn't notice or the family doesn't appreciate it? You know, this has been a couple weeks ago, I think, but I saw this report on TV. It was one of the TV news stations. I can't remember which one, doesn't make any difference. But a woman complained that she wanted to leave her marriage because her husband didn't appreciate her. But the question is being appreciated, is that a right? Should we only do things because others recognize our efforts in doing them? And that leads me into the title of today's sermon, because sometimes there's no applause. You know, our good deeds as Christians are to shine out. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 to read a little bit about this, how the good deeds are to shine out. I'm in Matthew 5. I'm going to start at verse number 14. It says there that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see the good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It tells me right there, folks, that the goal is glory to God and not to ourselves. Staying in the book of Matthew, let's go over one chapter, to chapter 6. And starting right there at verse number 1 of Matthew 6, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, You are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, it's so tempting because us as human beings, we like to have the glory to say, hey, see what I did? Or look at me. And it shouldn't be that way. Look at what I've done. Sometimes doing it in secret without the hoopla, as they say, is the best. Because this is the trap that the Pharisees fell into. Because if we turn to Matthew 23, it talks more about this. Matthew 23, and I'm beginning at verse number 6. And this, like I said, this is the trap that the Pharisees fell into. Starting at verse 6, it says, they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Justification is seen as what other men accept, but not what God accepts. When we talk about justifying something, we're trying to justify it for our fellow man or for someone else, not for God. Luke 16 and verse 15. What's it say about this? Luke 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourself in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. If we are only to do something to seek the praise of men, that indicates that we may not believe in God. We're more satisfied, more comfortable with impressing fellow man as opposed to God's commandments. Because John 5 and verse number 44, it talks about this. It says, John 5:44 says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? That's a question. Does it mean more to you to impress your neighbor, your friend, your relative before God? Something to think about. But we do the righteousness for God, but we must not take the mistake of thinking that God needs our feeble efforts. Because just like it says, he does not need our efforts. Because wicked individuals, do they harm God on this earth? Or the righteous individual, does God benefit from them? Our wickedness does not harm God, and our righteousness does not benefit him. Let's go back to the Old Testament, this time the book of Job, in verse number 35. And in verse number 6, Job 35, starting at verse number 6, it says, if you have sinned, what do you accomplish against him? And if your transgressions are many, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Folks, we've all heard this before. I'm just going to reemphasize it, that the whole duty of man is to serve God. That's it. We are to serve God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, it's written right there in black and white. Not my words, this is what it says in the Bible. This says the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to some people, does it say some people? It says every person. And that covers the whole spectrum. Not just a few, selected few, but every person. But you know what? You know, yet God owes us nothing for our service. Because as Mark indicated earlier, everything we have is what God has given us first. He's allowed us to have the homes, the automobiles, the health, whatever the case may be. God has given us this first. Let's read a little bit more about that, this time from 1 Chronicles. This is still in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, this will be chapter 29. And beginning at verse number 13, it says, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. It's what God has first given us. Not only is it the duty of everybody to serve God, but we need to serve God because we love him. And this, Jesus said, is the greatest commandment. And we've all heard this scripture reading before, but I'm going to make you read it here one more time. And this is in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 36. They're asking, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Not any clearer than that. That's what we need to do. That's what we have to do. And the motivation for righteousness is because God says it is right. We need to be doing this. We cannot do right because others will reward our deeds. Because God Almighty is the one that looks over us. And too often we do good because of what we get out of it. It makes you feel good when you help that person. Give this to the person, give that to the person. It makes you feel good. But too often we do good because of what we get out of it and not because it is right in the first place. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Starting at verse number 31. Luke 6:31, it reads, "Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount." Then it goes on to say, "But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." You know, if respect of others is our motivation, then folks, we're surely going to be disappointed, because we have to serve God. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning at the 13th verse. First Peter 3, starting at verse number 13, it reads, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority." Excuse me. Got hung on wrong. Okay, I was on 12. Excuse me, chapter 3, verse 13, here we go. "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." Because if we put our motivation just to get the respect of others, like I said earlier, we're going to be disappointed. But on the other hand, I don't want to stand up here and tell you that our righteous deeds that we perform here on earth are going to be ignored, because they're not. Because if we turn to Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse number 9, it talks a little bit more about this. It says, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation through, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards His name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I think we all know what those promises are. So I guess what I'm saying is that we know that we have to serve God. We have to have love when we serve God. But yet at the same time, we have to be kind to our fellow man. But we don't have to do that to impress other people, because that's not what it's all about. But a question for all of you to think about is, what motivates your service? Let's turn to Galatians. It's chapter 1, verse number 10. It says, "Or am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Pretty self-explanatory. I just want to leave you with a final message here this morning, and the lesson will be yours. I ask that you bind your life to God Almighty this particular day, and not to influence people. You know, as Christians, we can be so much more by following those words of the Bible. We need to hear Jesus. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to repent of those sins, confess Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And I say this every time, and to be faithful always. Because faith is not believing that God can, it's knowing that God will. There are those present today that are not a Christian and would like to become one. Everything is ready for you. Or if there are those who are in need of our prayers or make themselves right with God, we ask that you please come forward as we sing the song of invitation that the White House selected.